He said, sinners will burn in hell. Wow. Truth in what he was saying, but it was a distorted gospel, wasn't it? It was just one side of the gospel. It was just the angry God gospel. He's looking at me, sinners will burn in hell. I don't know what he knew about my past. I wasn't a Christian for the first 28 years of my life, so there was plenty of sin in my life. There still is. But what he didn't know about me is 30 years ago, over 30 years ago now, God adopted me into his family and gave me an assurance of my salvation and confidence that I'm not heading towards judgment, but because of Jesus, I'm heading to him. I'm not going to experience the things that he was screaming at people. Now, I'm a Christian who is desperate that others, including many of my family and friends, I'm desperate that they hear the good news and respond to the good news. Personally, I find these turn or burn street corner evangelists who yell at me without taking any time to get to know me quite off-putting. When I hear their exclusive message of judgment and hellfire, I often think, how effective is that? Will God use them to bring others to faith in his son Jesus? And although I know that I'm meant to be sharing Jesus with others every opportunity I get, I'm actually an introvert. I just pretend I'm not when I'm on stage. But I'm actually an introvert. And the idea of just getting a megaphone and a soapbox and just saying to people even a more positive message, maybe a balanced judgment and grace message to complete strangers, terrifies me. I don't know if it would terrify you. Some of you are extroverts. You'd probably think, what a wonderful thing to be doing. Go and do it, but make sure you have grace and judgment, not just judgment. And don't mishear me. God can do anything. Salvation is God's work. One day, I might be sitting down at the great banquet next to someone, and I might turn to them and say, how did you get here? And they might say, well, you wouldn't believe it. I was on a shopping trip in Melbourne. I was walking through the Bourke Street Mall. Someone yelled at me that I was a sinner heading for hell and only Jesus could save me. And then and there, I gave my life to Jesus. And that's why I'm here with you and not there. God can do anything, can't he? But still, I'm left wondering, for every person that does respond to the Bourke Street evangelists of the world, how many others are turned off Christianity? Is there a more natural, genuine, less terrifying for introverts, an effective way to share Jesus with family, friends and neighbours, that they might come to know and love him as we know and love him? Well, praise God there is. In our reading from Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, Paul gives us a wonderfully rich description of how he and his companions shared the good news about Jesus with them when he first met them. We're going to see that Paul's missional endeavours were marked by courage, character, and care. As we look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, may we be inspired and encouraged and equipped to share Jesus with others with similar God-given courage, character, and a deep care and love so that God might draw many in Kingbra to himself. So we're going to look at those three things. We're going to start with Paul's courage. Paul and his friends Silas and Timothy needed courage to share the Jesus story with the Thessalonians. Courage that God gave them. Paul says, you know, brothers and sisters, that our visit to you was not without result. We had previously suffered and been treated outrageously in Philippi, as you know. But with the help of our God, we dared to tell you his gospel in the face of strong opposition. Paul, Silas, and Timothy were very effective when they first brought the good news of Jesus to the Thessalonians in modern-day Greece. Their visit was not without results, Paul says. People came to trust in Jesus as their Lord and their Saviour, the one that could offer them God's forgiveness and eternal life. Their efforts in sharing Jesus were effective, but those efforts took a great deal of courage. We haven't got time now to read two chapters of the Bible, but I would commend to you at some time today, tomorrow, reading Acts chapter 16 and 17, which recount the opposition and hostility, including beatings and imprisonment, that Paul, Silas, and Timothy endured in both Thessalonica and in neighbouring Philippi, merely for daring to tell others the good news about Jesus. And despite these hardships, Paul reminds the Thessalonians that it was with God's help that they did dare to tell them God's gospel in the face of strong opposition. Sharing Jesus always requires a measure of courage. Many places in our world, sharing Jesus can cost you your liberty or even your life. CMS currently has missionaries serving in the Middle East and in parts of Asia where they face the risk of imprisonment and/or deportation, and where local Christians that they are working with face imprisonment and even loss of life. But because we think Jesus is worth it, we continue to send people from the safety and the security of Australia to places where it is very hard to share Jesus with others. A few years back, one of our workers in an Asian country had the police at the door, at their apartment. Someone else in the apartment building had tipped off the police that this person, our worker, ran Bible studies out of that apartment. There was about a dozen young adults with our worker doing a Bible study, when half a dozen police stormed in, knocked on the door, opened the door, came in and searched for Bibles. But they were young people. And where does everyone have their Bible these days if they're young? They don't actually know a lot of young people that this is a Bible. They think the Bible is an app on their phone. But praise God, on this occasion, everyone's phone simply needed to be turned off, put in their pocket. There were no Bibles to be found. So our worker was okay, and the locals were okay. The consequences would have been severe, particularly for the locals, and a little bit severe for our worker. We sent out a young lady named Kate, about 7 or 8 years from the branch church in Launceston, to a South Asian country where it's very difficult and dangerous to minister as a Christian. On her first tour, Kate needed courage to serve in South Asia because it's a hard place to be a single woman, let alone a single white woman, a foreigner, and let alone a single white female foreigner who follows Jesus in a nation where over 99% of the people follow other religions. Now, not all our workers, our CMS workers, are serving in places that are where Christians are ostracized or persecuted for following Jesus and sharing Jesus. Others serve in those places I described, like in Africa and Latin America, where they're building up the church. About 2 years ago, just as we're about to start our Spur conference, I got a WhatsApp message from our Tasmanian workers from Kingston, Tasmania, Sarah and Brian, who serve in Ecuador. They woke up to the sound of car bombs going off and a running street battle between the police and army with narcos, with drug gangs. Our 200 CMS workers that have been sent out to over 45 countries and serving in the north of Australia in Indigenous ministry need our prayers prayers that they would remain courageous as they share their lives and share Jesus in the places we have sent them. I've put some CMS prayer diaries at the back of the church. If you are a prayer, a prayer warrior, if that's a gift God's given you, I can take you to 45 countries in the next month as you just work day by day, reading a little bit about our workers and praying for them. If you grab one, come and see me. Just give me your name and your email, and then we will send you a one-sentence update collated for you of each of these people, so that your prayers aren't just generic, they're specific for the things that they need prayer for in the months ahead this year. If you haven't got one of Yuman's prayer cards, and don't worry, Paul, it's not Yuman, it's not her picture there. This is Sarah and Brian, who are in Ecuador. It's okay to be a Christian in Ecuador. You just got to avoid the car bombs and their baby Teco. Come and grab one of Yuman's prayer cards if you don't have one. Put it somewhere where you'll see it daily. I have the prayer cards of all our 9 Tasmanian workers in my office where I open my computer every day. So I see it and I pray every day for them that I open my computer. I can't help not pray for them. What's more important, opening my computer and answering emails or praying for our workers? They need our prayers, that they would remain courageous in the places we've sent them. What about us? We're not being sent to the nations. We're being sent to Kingborough this week, this month, this year, to tell people that Jesus is Lord and Saviour. We're being sent to our family, our friends, our workmates, our neighbours this year. We're going to need courage to talk to people about Jesus and to live lives that commend Jesus to others. Our nation is increasingly turning away from the Christian narrative that's been foundational for the past 200 years of our nation's history. Being a Christian puts us in the majority in our schools, our workplaces, at social gatherings. If I don't really want to talk to you because I'm an introvert and I'm at a party where I don't know people and say, "What do you do, Scott?" I'm a Christian pastor. I don't know if Paul has that experience. It's a bit of a awkward moment then, and people just, "Oh, okay," and they wander away from me, which is good because I'm an introvert. We're going to need courage to live countercultural lives and courage to tell the people of Kingborough, the people of Tasmania, that Jesus is the rightful Lord of their lives, not them. Well, Paul wrote that it's God who gave him the help he needed, God who enabled him to courageously continue his ministry. We too can expect God's help when we step out on mission here in Kingborough. Let's think about missional character. CMS believes that one of the most critical elements for effective mission is the quality of the people we send. The character of our missionaries matters more to us, or at least as much, as their ability to communicate Jesus. We can teach people skills to share Jesus effectively. What we look for is deep, mature Christian character. We subject our missionary applicants to months of interviews, multiple references. They spend 5 months at our residential training college being equipped, but even then we're still considering, are these the right people to send out? Now, don't mishear me. We're not expecting perfection. We're looking for sinners saved by grace who are showing by the way they live and the choices they make that Jesus is King in their life. People who are trying in the Spirit's power to conform their lives to the gospel so that God might grow them in Christ's likeness. In our reading, Paul speaks about the character of the Christian who shares Jesus with others. In verses 3, 5, and 10 of today's reading, Paul reminds the Thessalonians that when he and his two friends shared the Jesus story with them and ministered amongst them, they did so with pure motives, without trickery, flattery, or greed. He was able to boast that they were holy, righteous, and blameless when he was among them. From verse 3, Paul says, "For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you." Verse 5, "You know we never use flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness." And verse 10, "You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were when we were among you who believed. Friends, when it comes to getting involved in God's mission here in Tasmania or globally to the ends of the earth, the ends don't justify the means. God is not glorified if we resort to using deception or flattery when we share the good news with others. Rather, like Paul, we must seek in God's grace and power to share Jesus with integrity and honesty. Our witness, both in word and deed, before a watching world must be holy, righteous, and blameless. The week before I entered what would become 15 years of school chaplaincy, a wise Christian friend counseled me, saying, "Remember, who you are will always be as important as what you say. Who you are will be as important as what you say." Now, my friend knew it was an Anglican school, and most of the people weren't Christians, but he knew that I had opportunities to daily preach in chapel, to teach RE lessons. He wasn't dismissing at all the vital task that God would give me of sharing the gospel with students and staff who didn't know Jesus. But he was reminding me that words and deeds must go hand in hand. And as a school chaplain, it was great advice because I became very aware that the students I ministered to were always making judgments about me. They were judging whether I walked the talk, whether the life I lived matched the words I spoke to them in chapel or the classroom. And of course, I never got it completely right. And in many churches I preach, there are students that could testify to that, who former students of mine. But I was very aware that what they heard me say in chapel or RE classes had to match, in God's grace and power, as much as it could, what they saw in the schoolyard or when I was coaching the footy team. We must show people Christ through our Christ-like actions and Christ-like character as we tell them the great gospel truths about Christianity, Jesus, the cross, the resurrection, the forgiveness and eternal life that only Jesus offers to the world. Who we are will be as important as what we say. And lastly, let's think about missional care. There's lots of reasons we should be telling people about Jesus. We have the Great Commission, don't we? Jesus said, the last thing he said really, he said, summed up what the church was to do, the early church, when he said, "Go and be a disciple-making people." A passion for God's glory should also motivate us towards mission. There are people in this world and there are places in this world where God is not given the glory that he deserves. That should concern us. That should motivate us to mission because we want our God to be glorified and worshipped by more and more people. The motivation for getting involved locally and globally in God's great mission for a world that knows, loves, and gives glory to Jesus that comes to us from today's reading is love. Deep care, love, and affection is what we see from Paul, Silas, and Timothy when they first came to these people and lived among these people in this first century church. That's what I didn't sense in the Bourke Street Mall Evangelist. I didn't sense any care, any love for me. He was just angry with me and the world. Paul wrote from verse 7, second half of verse 7, "Just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you. Because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of our lives, but our lives as well. We cared for you. We loved you so much." Paul, Silas, and Timothy were motivated by a deep care, love, and affection for those who were yet to know Jesus. 5 years ago, from Copping, Tasmania, we sent a rural farming couple, Amanda and Morris Jacobson, to Cambodia to be missionaries, to serve in a small rural Bible school, helping to train and equip a generation of Cambodian village pastors, evangelists, and lay church leaders. Maurice and Amanda had been to Cambodia for about 10 times, 10 or 12 times, on short term, from 2 weeks to 2 month mission trips. But then they decided they needed to go all in. They decided that, like Paul, they wanted to share their whole lives with people, not just the gospel. Paul, God gave them a deep care and affection for the people of that nation. On their prayer card, they used to be bigger and they had more information on them, the missionaries got to choose a Bible verse. And it was actually the verse that's in this reading. The verse that was on their prayer card was, "Because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well." Morris told me that the reason they chose that verse is it came into his head on one of the short-term trips. He was driving, his wife was somewhere else, and he was driving through rural Cambodia. He had a Christian local driver, and he asked about the villages they were driving past, and the driver explained that whilst it's a Buddhist country, particularly in the country, the Buddhism is mixed with animistic practices. It's synchronized. And everyone lives in fear of their ancestor spirits, that you'll upset your deceased ancestors and that will bring cursings upon you. Everyone living in darkness. And the driver said most of these villages would never have met a Christian, would never have heard the story of Jesus. And then that verse popped into his head. He realized that, yeah, it's good to go on short-term trips, but they needed to come and invest wholeheartedly so they could share the gospel and their lives with the people of Cambodia. Paul's love, care for the Thessalonians, love and care for the Thessalonians is vividly illustrated by an image I want to leave you with as we think about going out this week, month, and year to win others, to make disciples for Jesus. Paul says, just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you. When you read the book of Acts, do you think of Paul as a nursing mother? I think the guy should have a cape and wear his underpants on the outside and have a big S on his chest, you know, like this fearless, bold missionary that changed the world pretty much more than any other person in history save Jesus. But Paul says, no. When we were among you, remember, we were gentle. We cared for you like a nursing mother with her infant child. One of the beautiful images I will carry in my heart to the day I die is of my wife, Jan, nursing our four children when they were each infants. I remember when our second boy came along, Noah, we were living in what was called the Doll's House, this beautiful little house, quite a small house, but next door to the church, St. John's Launceston, where I was the assistant minister. I'm a very heavy sleeper, and Noah used to wake up every 2 hours, but I only really knew that because my wife would tell me that in the morning. But one day I woke up, I did wake up in the middle of the night, and I thought, oh, my wife's not here, that's strange. And then I thought, oh, she's probably feeding Noah because he wakes up every 2 hours. I'd bought her a rocking chair and I went into the room to see if she was okay and she was there nursing Noah. And it was just a beautiful memory that I have, a vivid image of her forming this beautiful bond with Noah. I said to her some years later, I made the mistake, ladies, and I apologise in advance for this mistake. I've had to apologise to my wife many times. I would say to her years later, how horrible was Noah? He used to wake up every 2 or 3 hours. That must have been horrible for you. She says those are some of the best moments she's ever had as a mother. Not just with Noah, but with all our children. The middle of the night, everything is silent. She's in her rocking chair, nursing and forming a bond of love with our children. It's a gripping metaphor, isn't it? This is what Paul says he was like when he first came among them and lived among them and shared Jesus with them. It's a good image for us to think about as we meet people this week, our neighbours, our friends, our workmates, our schoolmates who don't know Jesus. Friends, let love be one of your key missional motivations. Have you been touched, blessed, and transformed by the love of Jesus? Do you believe that belonging to this community of Christ, this community of Christian love, this church, is better than any other community or organization the world has to offer? Well, then, having experienced the love of Jesus in your life and in his church, share that love with others. Let us share our lives, give our lives in loving service of friend, family, and neighbors. Let us tell them of the love of God that we have found in Jesus. But let us also show them that love as we live among them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, would you please give us the courage necessary to tell others about you and your glorious Son. Heavenly Father, would you give us the desire and grace to develop our characters so that we can share your story with integrity? And Heavenly Father, would you give us a deep and abiding care and affection for those we know who do not yet know you? Help us to share the gospel with them, but our very lives also. And these things we pray that the world might increasingly know, love, and worship Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Scott. Something Scott said is going through my head. Who you are is just as important as what you say. That's quite a weighty thing. But thankfully, who we are is who we are in Jesus, and that he's Christ in us. We're going to sing about that today, now, so please stand. And as we sing, yet not I, but through Christ in me, let's be reassured that Jesus has power to make who we are and what we say powerful and life-giving.
Gift of grace is Jesus, my Redeemer. There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and